to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena, to awaken to the characteristics of nature, impermanent suffering state and non-self. Then sati and samadhi will allow you to develop wisdom. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. The mind that has samadhi is not distracted by things. It will not waver at the moment of sense experience. That's why when you can cultivate until your mind has this spiritual faculty, it will understand his teaching. It will awaken very fast. And when you are in sati and samadhi, there is no thought. There is no heedlessness. There is no mental chattering. It's just aware, silent. And because of that, it has clarity. Yeah. And it is very sensitive. Yeah. So all these are the reason why we do all this puja. Yeah. Then now we will start with the salutation to the triple gem. Yeah. Then after that we will chant, yeah, based on the chanting book. We will chant the puja. Okay, now we can compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then we will recite our homage to Sakyamuni Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva and all the great beings. Namo Bunsi Sakyamuni Po. Namo Bunsi Sakyamuni Po. Namo Bunsi Sakyamuni Po. Namo Kuan Sing Pusa. Namo Kuan Sing Pusa. Namo Kuan Sing Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pusien Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Namo Pho Pusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Saukasango Sanghang Namami. Okay, now we turn to page 4. We will proceed with the chanting. Turn to page 4 of your chanting book. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micacara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musawada Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami Suramiraya Majapama Dathana Viramani Sikha Padang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja. Ganna Sarapaditena Dipena tamadang sina tiloka dipang sambudang pujayami tamonudang ganda sambarayutena dupena hang sugang hina pujaye pujaniyang tang puja bhajana muttamang Vanna ganda guno petang etang kasuma santatin pujayami munindasa siri pada sarurohe pujemi buddhang kasumena nena punnena mattena cha hotu mokhang Upang milayati idang me Kayo tata yati vinasa bawang Adiva setu no bante Paniyang parikapitang Anukampang upadaya Patigan hatu mutamang Okay, turn to page 18. We shall make the aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this puja offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind. And help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness or ignorance therein. Understanding the significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in virtue and wisdom. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate Sila, Samadhi, and Panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free Nibbana. Speaking of overall aspiration, by the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya be further strengthened until they become balas. All powers, yeah. Sharing and transference of merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang pujami. Damang Pujemi Sanghang Pujemi. Okay, good. So we are still earlier, about 8:32, so you can meditate for half an hour. So everybody has been here before. I will off the light, then you proceed with your meditation. For those who are new, you go back and read the blue book. There is a blue book that explains to you how to meditate. Okay, I will off the light, and you all can proceed with the meditation. Those who already know how to meditate, you can straight away proceed with the meditation. For those who are new, if you still need to train your mind, then you continue to develop the training. The training of the mind can come in two ways. The first way is for those who are still very new, where you are not able to even develop mindfulness. The reason being, the Buddha said, the five mental hindrances of sensual desire, you will sloth and torpor, restlessness of mind, and doubt, they are very strong. So in order to overcome all this, you need to develop the opposite five, which is the spiritual faculty. That's why this puja can give you that training. But because you seldom do it, you are not able to stabilize it. So this spiritual faculty, if they are not stable, they are not strong, it's very difficult to develop the meditation. So in order to help you at least develop the tranquility of mind or stillness of mind or the silent mind, you have to first start off with the mind sweeping method to help you decondition your heedless thinking, which is the result of the five hindrances. So when your mind becomes quiet, when you can use the mind sweeping method just to be aware, relaxed and silent. Because when you feel you don't think, starting from your forehead, relaxed body and mind, then you feel any tension, any tightness, any stress within, you just relax them. Then you sweep it down to your eye muscle, do the same. Facial muscle, do the same. Then you radiate love and metta. Love and metta can bring about inner well-being. Mind sweeping metta, it brings about inner peace, inner quietness, and inner calmness, leading to the awareness. So the benefits of meditation is when you start this training, you will immediately receive these two great benefits. First is inner peace of mind, followed by inner well-being. To develop inner well-being, you can radiate this metta by reciting as follows. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You must feel the entire body and mind of yours having this well-being and happiness. Each and every cell within your physical body and your entire being or mind having this happiness and well-being. Then you can continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. You feel your body physically and mentally free of all suffering. Then may it too be free from all harm and danger. May its mind state too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled, and may it keep itself happy and peaceful always. Then may there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within our hearts. Then you can repeat this metta and read it to your loved ones and to all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, and also all kayanamitas. Then you can extend it further, all beings within the entire SS2, PJ, Selangor, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, the world, planet, Mother Earth. Then our solar system, galaxy, Milky Way, and the entire universe. Then after that, you can come back to your facial muscle and continue the whole process of my swimming method until your leg. Then you can reverse this whole thing. By then you should be more calm and more peaceful. Then you learn to anchor your trained state of mind, the mind that is already quiet, peaceful and aware, that has the inner peace and the inner awareness. Now you need to stabilize this mindfulness or this awareness. So you can anchor it to any object of meditation or any skillful means that you have developed. Then as you develop the stability of that mindfulness, this sati will stabilize until it becomes pasati. Then you will go through piti and sukha, you will experience them. Piti is a spiritual joy, sukha is a spiritual bliss. Pasati is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. If you don't have any object of meditation, then you can use anapanasati, which is mindfulness of the in and out breath. So just like you feel your forehead, now you feel your breathing. And as you detect your breathing, like the Buddha say, breathing in, the mind is aware. Means mind and the breath move as one without thought. Breathing out, the mind is aware. Every time you wander off, bring your attention back to your nostril, in front of your nostril, to be aware of this breathing. If you train it well, if you are patient enough, very soon, not long, anapanasati will stabilize. Then your mind will become very quiet, very peaceful. When you are in sati, only mindful of the breathing without thought, this piti or spiritual calmness and spiritual joy or spiritual rapture will arise. Then as you continue to relax into it and silent, it will become sukha. Sukha is spiritual bliss, much more refined than piti. Then you continue to relax further. Sukha will also transform into pasati. Pasati is the silent mind, meditative mind, the mind that is quiet, peaceful, tranquil and still, no movement. Such a mind is the meditative mind. It can be with the moment without thought, just aware. Wherever you locate this mind is very sensitive. So I will leave it to you to meditate, to develop this stability of mind. Then after that, you just silent everything to develop the understanding. Okay. you want to meditate, you can continue. For those that have enough, slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will continue with our invocation to the devas, page 6. I will read to you the English translation. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching, the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. This is the time to listen to the doctrine. Samanta Chakavalesu Atra Gacchantu Devata Saddhammang Muni Rajasu Sunanto Sakkamokkhalang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Bandata Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhasa Ittipeso Bhagava Arahang Samma Sambuddho Vijacharana Sampanno Sugato Lokavido Anuttaro Purisa Dhammasarati Sattha Deva Manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipasiko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditadbhu Vinohiti Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Pujupatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Nyaya patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chattari purisa yukkani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaniyo Anuttarang punyang keta lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give your pure respect, Tripa Jam. pedang pecah ni. Damang pecah ni. Sanghang pecah ni. Okay, you can be seated. Then maintain some form of attention. Yeah? Then we can start the Dhamma sharing. Huh? We supposed to do this Diamond Sutta. Huh? Those who have the book, huh? You can turn to page 1. Huh? We will read the verse for opening the sutta. The unsurpassed, profound and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of aeons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Then we turn to the page where we stop. We are at page 39. Correct? 39. Okay, page 39. So this is Xuan Hua's way of explanation, which last Tuesday I already gone through. He conquered greed, hatred and stupidity or delusion by cultivating sila, samadhi and panya or morality. He used the word concentration. It's not concentration. It is samadhi, stability of mind and wisdom. So this is his way. But for us, when we understand, we go into more detail. Because sila, samadhi, panya is actually the Noble Eightfold Path. And Noble Eightfold Path has got many, many path factors. And all these need to be understood and cultivated. And finally, it is the Four Noble Truths. The three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. That's why the whole teaching, when it's understood, the whole picture becomes very clear, the zigzag puzzle. So you need to train your mind to be ever mindful, heedful. That's the part that was not explained to. Then you have to overcome the five hindrances of mind, born of your delusion, born of your heedlessness. To do that, you need to cultivate the five opposite spiritual faculties. So all this also was not mentioned, but we have gone through. So with that understanding, you should know how to cultivate. So spiritual faculties are very important. Then in order to develop it, you need to go through the puja. And from the puja, you develop the faith through contemplating deep into who the Buddha is and how special he is. That's why the chanting or with regard to the salutation to the Buddha, then refuge with the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha, then the renewal of precept, chanting of the salutation to the Buddha Dhamma and the Sangha. So all these are the important pointer and reminder to the teaching, so that you understand clearly what the Triple Gem are and why we take refuge and why is it. It is only within the Triple Gem that we can find the teaching. And this teaching is none other than the Four Noble Truths. So, Four Noble Truths constitute the essence of the Buddha's teaching. From there, all his essential Dhamma or teaching spin off. So, this Four Noble Truths, with its three turning, they are the most important aspect of the cultivation and teaching. Even the Buddha himself, at that time when he proclaimed the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he said he himself at that time as a Bodhisattva, He also need to understand this Four Noble Truths in its three turning and 12 aspects or 12 modes before he can claim to be the fully enlightened one. Yeah. So this is a very, very essential understanding. Then now we continue. We start with first paragraph, page 39. So it is with greed, anger and stupidity, which Shenhua used. The equivalent English word that we normally use is greed, hatred and delusion. But Mahayana, they like this word. Greed, anger and stupidity. Then Sila Samadhi and Panya is translated as morality, concentration and wisdom. The actual English equivalent is morality, which is precept. Then instead of concentration, we should go back to the word Samadhi or collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind. Then wisdom is the same, Panya. When one understands how to use them, they are Sila, Samadhi and Panya. When one is so deluded that one cannot make them function, then it becomes greed, hatred and delusion. So Shenhua's explanation is like that. Ice does not differ from water and water does not differ from ice. Just as water is ice and ice is water, so too affliction are bohi. And bohi is affliction. Bohi and affliction are not two. If one cannot use it, bohi changes to affliction. If one can, then affliction becomes bohi. Do you understand what he is trying to share with you? The two are very different, isn't it? Bohi is enlightenment, isn't it? Then affliction is affliction, isn't it? But what is Shenhua trying to tell you? He liked to teach this way, which is his way. But he has his good point too. Because I remember I heard from one of his talks. He said, if you do not perceive any problems that you encounter in life with negativity, then you can turn it around. Means that suffering or that problem or that affliction, you can turn it around. Then you have wisdom. It becomes bohi. You understand what he mean? Anybody want to try? What does he mean when he say that? When you don't perceive it with negativity. He used Mandarin, he say. I forgot the actual word. But it's something like, whenever you encounter something, it may appear to you like very negative, full of suffering, full of problem. So something like 不好的一个起头, but you know how to turn it around. It's just like our English word. It becomes a blessing in disguise. You understand that? Without this problem, without this suffering, without this affliction, you will not look for Dhamma. You will not look for solution. Understand that? And because of all this affliction, suffering, that's why you go and search for truth. Then it turned out to be a blessing in disguise. Then like I used to share with you, or you do not perceive any of your problem or suffering with negativity, then it become what? It become what? What does it become? You don't perceive it negative? Negativity? It is just the way it is, isn't it? That is the reality, isn't it? Because in this world, there can be no other way. What is the reality? Thing is just the way it is, understand? That's why the Buddha say you have to learn to see things as they are, not according to what you think or what you believe or what you want. That is your mind telling you. Your mind creating the craving or the desire. When you want things your way, suffering will arise. Nature's conditions are like that. So think it's just the way it is, because nature's condition is already set. That it will condition things to be what it is now. That's why what is the reality. So if you don't perceive it in negativity means you can come to term to the to accept this reality for what it is, means you accept them for what they are. Then no right, no wrong, no good, no bad. Then you become peaceful. You can be at peace with that situation. Then what happened? When you don't react, you don't get angry, you don't blame, you don't become afflicted, you don't become miserable. You see the point or not? When you can accept things as they are, you are at peace. That is the most important state of mind. When you are at peace, what happened to you? There is no defilement, no delusion, no duality, nothing. You are just at peace. Then there is clarity. Then you can have this clarity of mind to understand what is going on. Then you can inquire, what are my options? How can I move from here? And this is how you cultivate. This is what the Buddha mean by where you must have right view. First, Noble Eightfold Path Factor. Right view to accept this reality, because the Buddha said, whatever arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, according to Asaji, my teacher has already explained. And what are the causes and conditions? The five great universal order of life and existence means the Pancha Niyamas. They are the one that governs all of life and existence. So when you understand them and you have right view towards this nature's law that governs life and existence, then you know why things are like that. How come people are like that? How come the world is like that? How come conditions are like that? Then from there, you develop the right view not to blame anybody, not to argue over what happened, not to become angry, miserable over what happened. Then you will have that wisdom to act. Need to apologize, you apologize. Need to ask for forgiveness, you ask for forgiveness. Need to introduce new condition to bring about better condition for future arising. You just do that. Then after that, when you act with Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, that will lead to the end of all suffering. You will resolve all your problems. You will have no more problem. So this is what the teaching is all about. But Xuanhua here just give you a very good, what they call suggestion. It is just like water and ice. When you freeze it, it becomes ice, solid. Means what? Not liquid. Then it's like very hard, affliction. But the moment you melt it, it's no more affliction, no more solid, anasana. Then it is fluid, it flows. Then you can use it, you can drink it, you can do a lot of things with it. That's why he said just like water when it is liquid and water when it's frozen. Although they are two different states, but basically they are of one entity, anasana. The structure is water. It depends on the amount of heat you put into it. So when you have this understanding, then ice and water actually are the same. It's how you use it, how you understand it. The moment you understand it, affliction is gone. It becomes bohi. You know how to use it. But the moment you don't understand, you complain. Oh, you, how come it's so cold, so hot, I can't even drink from it. And it's not like in the winter, snow and all those things. But at least you have snow, you know, if you have enough heat, you can melt it, and you can have water. So this is how Xuanhua shared. But the bigger picture, to develop the clear understanding of the teaching, you need to go back to the essential Dhamma, which is the Four Noble Truths. And that one is very complete. Understand? So far, any question or not? You got anything that you want to add or share or discuss about this topic? Anybody? Don't have. Okay, then we go on to the poem. However, Xuanhua said, what is spoken is Dhamma. What is cultivated or practiced is the way. You agree or not? Yeah? These two sentences. Can agree or not? Can, huh? Why? What is spoken is what? Words only, isn't it? And words is what? Dhamma, isn't it? Understand not? So Dhamma is not Bohi. Dhamma is the teaching. What is the teaching? It points towards? Points toward what? The truth. So the pointer, like the finger pointing at the moon, is not the moon, understand? The moon is the enlightenment, the wisdom, the truth. But the pointer that points towards it is not the moon, understand? Not the truth. So whatever that is spoken is the Dhamma. That's why wisdom or the truth, the Buddha cannot teach you. He can only show it to you. You have to walk the path yourself. That's why what is cultivated or practiced is the way. The actual word should be cultivated, because practice have a different meaning. You practice something that is repetitive, understand, or mechanical in nature. Like I practice how to run, how to walk, how to play games, how to cook. And that one you need to practice, repeat and repeat and repeat. But cultivation is to develop understanding. When I cultivate, I can do it anyway, as long as it can bring about understanding. So to cultivate, you need to be heedful. You need to be aware. And to be aware, you don't have to practice. The moment you understand that, the moment you are silent, you're already aware. So you don't have to practice to be aware. Understand? Like the fish don't have to practice how to swim. The moment the fish is born, he already know how to swim. But because human being is the other way around. When you are born, actually you don't have thought. Then after you are born, you are so conditioned by society's way of teaching you and other things, then you start to use thought. It's just like the fish, when they are born, straight away you take them out of water and teach them how to live on land. Then they really forgot how to swim, I tell you. Because they forgot that they were originally from water. So human being is the same. When you are born, your mind is clear. Because no memory, no thinking, no thought, nothing. That's why the kid, the newborn baby, those who are still a few days old, a few weeks old, they are very cute, very naive. They have no thought. Their mind state are very beautiful. And that is the mind that is very near the enlightened being. Because that is the mind that is not heedless. Little or no thought at all. It's just aware and conscious. That it need to rest, it rests. It need to sleep, it sleeps. And then when it need food, it cries. When there is some part not comfortable, it cries. And it's a very natural response. So this is what the form and mind is all about. So when you cultivate and develop that understanding, you will come to understand the same principle behind. So Xuanhua's poem is the same. What is spoken is Dhamma. What is cultivated is the way. even if you speak extremely well, with no practice, there is no real way. You remember that monk during the Buddha's time? They call him Venerable One. Huh? He got a lot of theory on, he don't cultivate one. Venerable? Empty scripture, yes, very good. Tujuputola, the sutta on Tujuputola. So, Venerable, empty scripture. So, when you have a lot of Dhamma knowledge, but you don't cultivate, you don't put it into practice, you cannot develop the clear understanding, you cannot awaken to the way. So, this one is similarly worded. Even you speak extremely well, very eloquent, but with no practice or no cultivation, there is no real understanding. That's why theory and the actual cultivation, they are wide apart, miles apart. Theory is theory. The one that has awakened, no need word, no need theory. Whatever you want to understand, you talk to him. He uses his own word, he will let you understand. But those who are very knowledgeable with a lot of knowledge, very scholarly, they can rattle to you which sutta, which Dhammapada verse and all those things. But then, whatever they rattle to you or share with you is not practical because they have not insight into it. They have not developed the understanding of it. And because of that, they cannot teach, they cannot share because they don't understand what the true teaching is, what the Buddha meant when he mentioned all those things. Okay? Yeah. Then we move on. One must actually go and cultivate it. One must honestly, truly rely on the Buddha Dharma and cultivate. So this is just another expression of importance, another way of emphasizing it. Then relentlessly cultivating sila, samadhi, and panya. See, he used the word relentlessly, means non-stop. And put to rest the three roots of greed, hatred, and delusion are the means to subdue the mind. Actually, this mind, you don't have to subdue it. You only need to develop the understanding of it. The moment you understand that wisdom will free the mind, liberate the mind. Subdue means like you want to control it, you want to suppress it, you want to like prevent it from becoming like that. That's why he used the word subdue. Like overpower you. But wisdom is not like that. Wisdom is when I understand, I don't have to do anything because I'm not deluded by it. Understand? So that mind can never behave that way. That's why it don't hold anymore. So I don't have to subdue or suppress or control or let go. No need. Because it's not deluded by it anymore. It sees clearly the falsity of it, the impermanent characteristics. How when you grasp, cling through delusion, self-delusion, suffering arise. Then you see the empty nature, the non-self nature. And when those characteristics become very clear, that wisdom automatically free your mind, liberate your mind. And you cannot do things like before. Understand? This is very important. Then we continue. When one subdues the false mind, he like to use this word subdues, I don't know why. The true mind eternally dwells as a matter of course. You see, this one, if you don't have the understanding, you may think, he is very good. When one subdues the false mind, the true eternal mind dwells as a matter of course. The eternally dwelling through my clear nature, bright substance, results from putting to rest the false mind, which allows the true mind to manifest. The last sentence is correct. Understand? What is the last sentence? putting to rest the false mind. He never says subdue. So as a putting to rest means what? No more deluded by it. Let it be. Just now before he start, some of Kayanamita came early. Then we adjourned for dinner. During that dinner, I explained how in the early day when I cultivate, I came to realize this very important understanding that the original state of mind is already stillness, silent. You don't have to do anything. So I remember during the year 1989, January 89, that time I already developed the understanding. That time I was with a statutory body. And I had trained until my routine become like very standard, very simple. And I got a lot of time to cultivate there. Because I standardize a lot of things, but that place is not an easy place to work. My boss call it a madhouse. He said, put 10 engineers there, also not enough. But I managed to develop the understanding and transform that whole division, the property development and maintenance division. Then after I did that, I realized I have a lot of time. I can develop my practice and cultivation very well. Then my mind becomes so different. Then like nothing can disturb me. Then throughout the day I'm aware, mindful, heedful. Then the understanding is there. Then all of a sudden the nature inside just tell me, it's about time you go out and test yourself. Oh, I say God like that. Then all of a sudden the condition arises. My classmate who was, when he was in the uni with me, he used to help me before the motorbike incident. Then I make a vow at that time, because he was so kind and so sincere. He lent me the motorbike, then I got accident. Then the owner that caused the accident, the Volvo person, he was very kind. He said, did you hurt yourself? I said, no. He said, don't worry, your motorbike, you send for repair. Then he gave me his name card. He said, you let me know how much I will pay. Then I got no choice, so I took the bike back. Then I thought when he see the bike, he will sure get mad and scold me. But I was so surprised, when I, actually the bike cannot really drive already. So I push it back to him. And when he saw the bike, you know what he said? He said, what happened? He didn't get angry. He said, what happened? I said, sorry, I met with an accident. Then after that, he saw me, took out the name card. I said, you don't worry. He said, the owner, a Volvo guy, he gave me this name card. He said, you go and repair. Whatever cost, call him, he will pay. Wow, he was so happy, He jumped for joy. He said, thank you so much. There's a lot of things I need repairs. But because he was so nice, then he used to, very entrepreneur. A lot of our textbook that time buy from UK is very expensive because we study in University of Malaya. He will go and organize the photostat, Xerox copy photostat, and he sell it was very cheap, about 10% of the cost only. Then he will give me discount. I don't know why he very close to me. He photostat. He also make his margin. I think his cost normally is about $5 or what. Then he will sell $8. But he will sell to me at $6. So because of that, I remember him. And I make a vow. I say, if I have a condition or chance after I graduate, I will help him. Then that year, very funny, when I want to test myself. He came to my house for the first time. And we had a Chinese New Year gathering. And all my classmates came. That was the only Chinese New Year gathering for my classmate that I organized. Then when he came, that year was 1980, end of 88, going to 89. You remember 86, 87, recession, a lot of people out of job. 88 still not really recovered yet. Then he came. We were having our Chinese New Year gathering. Then he suddenly mentioned, I am in need of a very senior engineer. everybody look at him, you know, recession, look for senior engineer. He said, well, he got a very big job from the government, JKR highway job. He couldn't find a senior engineer to help him do, well, he don't want to pay that high salary to hire expat and all those things. So he want to look for a senior engineer. So everybody just laugh at it. Then all of a sudden, after they went back, I gave it a thought. I said, how come the condition is such? Maybe it's about time, because it ties with my vow and aspiration to help him. Then I reflected and contemplated. Then that morning, I called him, no, Monday morning. I said, you serious, huh? Looking for a senior? Yeah, I'm very serious, dead serious. You got anybody to recommend? Huh? I say, okay, I come and join you. Oh, he panicking. You know? He panicking. You know? He said, I cannot afford you. You know? Yeah, he came to my office before. He saw my room was very big, and I got one secretary, two stenographer, and I got 600 to 800 staff under me. You know? He said, I cannot afford you. And he know I'm a super skill. You know? I say, if I say I join you, means I will come and help you. I say, it's not a salary. I say, you just pay me whatever you can afford. Wow, you were so happy. You know? He said, I can't even afford a room for you. You know? I said, you don't worry, I already told you. Yeah, he came to my office before he saw my room. So after that, he said, give me a minute. He got to discuss with this other partner. Then after he thought about, then he called me up. He said, how much are you getting for your super skill? Then he said, oh, this type of salary, my fee can pay. He said, more than enough to pay, but the fee was very, very good. That project, after I did for him, the project cost was 80 million. 80 million, government scale of fee, 4%, average maybe 2-3%, is still about 20 million. 20 million of fee, you know. Just 2% do, you know, I and one senior draftsman, you know. Oh, that's why after that he fatted like mad. The company, oh yo, I tell you, he was so happy. Then I went over. Oh, the important point is the Dhamma, not about money. When I went into the private sector, yeah, I want to test. You know what happened? No? The file, everything, a lot to memorize, a lot to read out, because consultant is design. Although I'm very good in my technical understanding, but I need to develop the, because more than 10 years I didn't do design already, because I was a technical, very senior technical person. I got consultant that do all this for me. Then I had to learn everything. Yeah. Then because of that, I realized the mind is so different. Every time I want to read something, learn something, this one up here like jam out. And like the nature inside telling you, now you understand. You want to suffer? You go and use your mundane mind. You go and think. You go and read. You go and memorize. You go and do all these funny things. That's what suffering is. Then I say, I need to work. I got no choice. Even though technically I'm very good, so I don't have to read a lot. But sometimes when the mind transforms, you have to actually make a decision. Because you have to work, understand? So I say, okay, when I'm working, I will spend some time, use this Monday mind, and find out, see what happened. And you know what happened? After I do that, for the first 1 or 2 weeks, immediately after work or lunchtime, I will relax and silence my mind. The more I silence, you know what happened? All this that I memorize and read and all those things, the thoughts start to appear, you know. Wow, I'll run all over, you know. Then the moment I silent and I just smile, then I don't resist, I don't do anything. You know what happened? All this start to slow down. Then very fast, still. That's why I know, no need to do anything. Then later on, as I develop all this understanding, that's why I need to come out and test myself and find out why this mind can still be like that. Then, when you understand already, the way you meditate is very different. That's why I just relax, silent. I never focus. I never concentrate. I never even label or what they call note. I don't do anything. I just relax, silent. Then I stay at the heart. Then I saw all this sankhara up there. Oh, initially, all of a sudden, all come out. Then I just relax, silent, and even laugh at it, smile. Then it starts to slow down, slow down. Then after that, thump, becomes still. Then the original state of mind comes. That's how I understand. That's why the real meditation is just silent, relax, away. Don't have to do anything. You tell people, people don't believe you. You know why they don't believe you or not? Huh? They say, how can, don't meditate, can develop this type of mind? Oh, they believe there must be a meditator. They must meditate. Then, no method, no technique one. Don't have to do anything one. Effortless one. What type of meditation? Understand? It's completely against the norm. Understand? Against what people teach. No teaching one. Understand? Just relax and aware. Silent. Like that also can meditate. Because to them, if you relax, aware, silent, what they do? They fall asleep. Understand? They straight away fall asleep. No need to do lying down meditation. You tell them, relax, silent, aware. They straight away fall asleep. Because if they got nothing to note and nothing to focus and concentrate, they will fall asleep. Understand? That's why when there is no spiritual faculty, when you have not trained your mind, you cannot do that type of meditation. Because the hindrances are still there. And the Buddha already explained very clearly, when the hindrances are still there, when your spiritual faculty is not developed, you cannot meditate. No way. So this understanding all comes from this form of mind's realization. Otherwise, how can I share it with you? How can I teach all this? Because it's not written in the book. You can go and check. Where can you find any book explain these things? And that so clearly. I have not seen one. Bits and pieces, yes. Some talk a little bit about here, a little bit about there, but they cannot link the whole thing. And they cannot explain to you clearly what method and technique are. Even monks got problem. I send you one of the email, you remember? Yeah? There is a SBS monk, Bante Kumara, I think. He was asked this question, Mante, what method you teach actually? He said for many years he got problem answering them. Yeah, he started off with a method and technique, because they all follow, I think, Maasi's cultivation, Maasi's rising and falling from Burma. His teacher also from there. Then later on, I think, he learned other teaching. He learned about buying Kati, remember? Then he learned about Eckhart Tolle power now. Then he combined this in his retreat, where he find Bayan Kathy's four line of questioning very effective to solve human problem. They call it the work. Then Eckhart's power of now, present moment awareness and all those things. But because they cannot link the teaching and they cannot explain, so when he was asked that question, what method you teach, he couldn't think of a method to explain to the student. Because Bayan Kathy question only, no method. Inquiry and question. Eckhart, power of now, just be with the moment. That one also no method, no technique. Oh. Then later on, he come out with understanding himself. He thought, I teach people to develop wisdom or understanding. That is what he teaches. He said, now he knows how to answer. He said, no need to talk about method and technique. He said, not important. He said, when I am like that, I am more creative. He said, and I am more like, I forgot the word he used. Something like, he's more effective. More effective. So, after so many years, even as a monk, they cannot tell you what are method and what are technique. And how come they do all this method and technique without understanding? They cannot explain to you why they do. That's why without this clear understanding, it's very difficult to progress and very difficult to develop the understanding. And when I realized all this during the early days, because I did the meditation on my own, then when I understand this nature, understand, then it can see very clearly, you know, the teaching is so clear. You know. All these methods and techniques are just skillful means to anchor the mind and to train the mind to be aware, to be heedful. Nothing to do with the meditation. Understand not? What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? We have gone through that. What is the meditation as taught by the Buddha? The essence of his teaching is what? The four noble truths. Then he stressed on heedfulness, yes, like PJ said. But the essence of his teaching is the four noble truths. So within the four noble truths, which of the noble truths is the meditation? The fourth noble truth. Yeah. We have the first one talk about the noble truth of suffering, reality of life and existence. There is no meditation there. Then the second noble truth explain to you what? The cause of arising of suffering. The main reason is self-delusion. Also, nothing to do with the meditation. Third noble truth is about what? Cessation of suffering. Enlightenment in the here and the now is possible. Means you don't have to wait till death. So suffering need not be. You develop this understanding, this cultivation, it will lead to the end of all suffering. So this one tell you can be done, but it never explain how to do. That's why it's also not the meditation. And then the fourth noble truth is different. The Buddha said, there is a noble eightfold path. If you put this into practice, if you cultivate this noble eightfold path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. End of all suffering means what? You don't have to suffer anymore. And this is what the enlightened one are. This is what the enlightened one is. Understand? Because when you become enlightened, awakened, the form and mind no more delusion, no more avijja, no more ignorance, then it will not get itself entangled anymore. Then there is no more suffering. That's why enlightenment equals the end of all suffering, transcending birth and death. And this is the meditation, Noble Eightfold Path. And within Noble Eightfold Path, we have the Samasati Path Factor, which has the four noble truths. The last cultivation, the fourth foundation, mindfulness of Dhamma, Dhamma Nupassana. There are five categories of cultivation. The last one is mindfulness of the Four Noble Truths. That's why within Satipatthana, there is the Four Noble Truths. The whole of the teaching is the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths. So when you understand this, then you compare. Okay, Noble Eightfold Path is what? It's the meditation. What is method? What is technique? Anything to do with Noble Eightfold Path? No? Got anything to do with Noble Eightfold Path? Nothing, is it? Just a series of instructions to do things. To note this, note that, or focus, concentrate. And most of these are samatha. Concentration, absorption, one-pointedness, meditation. The, even the so-called vipassana, they are all thought-based, etc. And nothing to do with Noble Eightfold Path. Not even close. And yet they cannot see, you know. When you meditate, they say, okay, do this, note this. Not that. Follow this method, this technique, because this one people do become arahant. Then, before you even want to teach them, they ask you, what method you teach? You teach the method not according to what they understand or what they are associated with, they don't want to learn. Then if you don't tell them what method, you say, I teach vipassana, everybody come. Because that word carry weight. Then, you say you teach jhana, vipassana, jnana, everybody will run towards you, attend your class. That is how gullible living beings are. Because vipassana, you cannot say vipassana is a method or technique. Vipassana is a type of meditation that allows you to insight into the characteristic of nature. Then it is called vipassana. Understand? Any skillful means method or technique or training that can lead you to that understanding, to insight into the three characteristics of nature that constitute vipassana. And what the Buddha teaches is the four foundation of mindfulness, which is part of Noble Eightfold Path. That's why vipassana is just a general word. Whatever meditation you do that can bring about that understanding, because it consists of two words, vi and passana. Passana is the insight into. Vi is the three characteristics of nature: impermanent, suffering state, and non-self or empty nature. Anicang, dukkang, anatta. So when you can insight into these three characteristics, whatever technique, method, or skillful mean you use, that is called vipassana. So when you understand all this, meditation becomes very simple. And like PG said, everywhere in the sutta, the Buddha highlight heedfulness. And you don't even want to understand what heedfulness is. That's why how to start the cultivation, how to develop the meditation. To be heedful, you have to be ever mindful and constantly meditative. That's why all these are all in the teaching, in the sutta. And last Sunday, Wu Pingjing Sir, I summarized it in the Q&A. Somebody asked me one question, I remember. I forgot who asked it. Susan, if I'm not wrong. Then from there, I summarized the whole thing. That's why Miss Lee found it very good and asked anybody who want to volunteer to do that transcript. Just that last part will do. So that also brings about another question for me to share with you all. Because earlier on, Nancy, Sia's wife, Nancy Klangon, we had a house, Dana, at her place, and Sia's place, remember? Not long ago, how many months? 1 or 2 months ago. I forgot when already. But just that house, Dana, that short talk, she volunteered to do the transcript. I say, very good. Sent to me for editing. I just completed it today. And I was so surprised. That very short talk got so much of those beautiful Dhamma inside there. Because the condition at that time was different. I explained a lot on the precepts. And also another aspect of mindfulness. I went deeper into it. And that talk was very good. That's why a lot of this sharing, now even the monthly gathering, the Dana, house Dana and gathering of Kanyaramita, the condition and the consciousness is so different nowadays. A lot of things has arisen. And it can bring about very, very different condition for Dhamma to arise and flow. So once that one is out, because now I need to send out tomorrow for editing, maybe for some to help in the editing of the English or the what they call proofreading, see whether there's any spelling mistake or typo error and all those things. So once it's ready, I don't think this one we are going to print it. Maybe we just do the simple one. We get the photostat shot to do like last time. We because it's not thick, not thick. You want to put it into A4 size? That's why this one, I want to do a simple one. Last time, you remember those early days where we just send it to the photostat shop. Just the cover, they use also normal paper but color one. Then they just fold it. So that one is... No. So much cheaper. It's about $1 or what only. No, I can still get 4 cents here. 4 cents. I can still get 4 cents here. No, the quality of the print is not so good as our printed one. Well, this one is not really a complete, very good Dhamma where we want to print as book. Understand? This one is just a house dana sharing. But it has its peculiarity of Dhamma. So it's just that part only. And it's quite short, quite short. A full set like this also can, but this one, it doesn't last. You staple it. Lat tau lat kwat. Unless you put the plastic sheet in front, A4, that one also very cheap. But you'll find it difficult to read in the A4 size. This booklet size easier to read. Easier to take around, easier to read. We see how it goes, don't worry. Then after that, I have to do that one that Lily and Puan Chi sent me on. That one was based on which talk, I also forgot already. Thursday on, Oh yeah, one of the Thursday on. Okay, maybe we will just finish off this part, then we stop. Then I can go on to the Krishnamurti code. So this part just now where I try to explain to you, the eternally dwelling through my, clear nature, bright substance, resulting from putting to rest the false mind, which allows the true mind to manifest. So you understand what Xuan Hua is trying to share with you. The second part is correct. The first part when he says subdues is wrong. You don't subdue the false mind, the mundane mind. You don't control it, you don't suppress it. You put it to rest. Understand? Means you develop the wisdom and understanding not to be deluded by it. Then once your spiritual faculty is there, you are no longer heedless. You cannot think like before. The habitual tendency, or they will slow down, then they will stop by itself. Then as you stabilize that mind, then it will become very different. Then it will cease by itself. That's why he used the word put to rest. Result from putting to rest the false mind. Actually, it's not really putting to rest, understand? You don't like say, hey, go and take a rest. You just allow it to be that mundane mind. If you don't do anything, it will cease to be. Your sankhara, everything will slow down. When you got no more delusion, no more sakaya diditti, no more wanting to know, wanting to meditate, wanting to understand. When your mind is not seeking, then the mundane mind loses its power. Then it just settles down. It just settles down. Then you become very still. And that is the mind that can understand a lot of things. That is the mind that can awaken to phenomena, that can insight into the characteristic of nature. That's why the true, real meditation is just silent. Or according to Krishnamurti, awareness is the silent and choiceless awareness. Always remember, passive, choiceless. Don't try to do anything. Don't try to even want to know. Then you will understand. So this part is very, very useful and very important. Okay? So we stop here. Then we go on to the Krishnamurti code. So today, same page. No movement. Except we cover two or three paragraphs. Okay. Now you turn over to this Krishnamurti code. Each and every one of you should have a copy. This is a new one. Last Tuesday, we go through the old one, the grief of self-centered sorrow. So today one, the first code is, there is understanding only when there is stillness. So this one, now you understand. If your mind is not still, not silent, there is no understanding. So Krishnamurti also came to develop the same understanding, realize the same understanding. It's in the file here. Sally don't have. Pass to my wife first. Those who don't have, you can have a copy each. So that same understanding came about because Krishnamurti, the mind also transformed. That's why he can understand. So the opening statement is the title. There is understanding only when there is stillness. So you have to investigate into this, whether you understand him or not. If you understand him, means you have investigated. Then you will have the same understanding. According to Krishnamurti, there is understanding only when there is stillness. Stillness means what? When there is silent observation, passive awareness, then only the problem yield its full significance. Means you attentively observe without reaction, without command from your conditioned mind, your views and your opinion. You just observe, attentive. Then you see things as they are. Then you understand it very clearly. The one that is busy commenting, condemning, and reacting and stirring, reacting through your views and opinion and conditioning, that type of mind cannot understand. Understand? Because you are so preoccupied with all those mental creation, with your own views and opinion of things you want to be right, then you got a lot of this right and wrong duality. Then you got a lot of views and opinion on what meditation should be, what truth is. Then you want to argue on it because you want to be right. So Krishnamurti understands, that's why he said, when there is silent observation and passive awareness, then only the problem yields its significance. Means you attentively observe and understand. The awareness of which Krishnamurti said is, he said, which I speak is of what is from moment to moment. See? Similar or not? Moment to moment means ever mindful. Moment to moment. That's why heedfulness is ever mindful, constantly meditative. So moment to moment, what do you do? Aware of the activities of thought. What is activity of thought? Sankara movement, anasana. And all these sankara are mental state, content of consciousness. That's why that is citta anupassana. And it's subtle deception, fear and hope. These are all mental states. Then here it didn't include feeling. Then he don't have dhamma. That's why the foundation, he only go to the mind straight away, citta. Choiceless awareness wholly dissolve our conflict and misery. You have to understand this sentence. This is a very powerful sentence. Do you agree with what he say? Choiceless awareness wholly dissolve our conflict and misery. Do you agree with what he say? When you are aware without choice, means what? You don't react, you don't stir, you don't comment, you don't do anything. You just aware, silent. What happened? Yeah? If you relax, silent and aware, and don't observe, don't develop the wisdom, then what happened? The third way that the Buddha teach, understand or not, the mind will return to its original state of stillness, silent. Understand or not? That's why all your problem is gone, dissolved. Agree or not? Because you just aware, you don't do anything. No thought, no word, no concept. Peaceful. Return to its original state, silence, stillness. That's why there is no more problem. But the problem with human being is, after you come out of meditation, what happened? The problem come back. Correct? That is where no amount of retreat, if you do this type of meditation, can help you. The Buddha said, when you are in stillness, silent, aware, you observe. That's what the Satipatthana is all about. Understand? What do you observe? When sati, which is the enlightenment factor, first enlightenment factor of mindfulness, is there, you have to be aware. When it is not there, means you are heedless, you also have to be aware. Huh, you never do this. You just silent, relax, and just still. Wow, good meditation. Very calm, very beautiful. I got jhana, I got what? I got insight, I got stillness, I got this energy, I see light. Is that meditation? That is another type of meditation. No, the Buddha teaches attentiveness, awareness, choiceless awareness, silent stillness to observe. Means, like what the Buddha said, the first category of Dhamma, mindfulness of the five hindrances. When the unarisen hindrance arise, you have to be aware and understand not. Then when the unarisen hindrance cease to be, you have to be aware. So that you understand how the unarisen hindrance come to be. Then later on, how the arisen hindrance cease to be. That's where you develop wisdom. That's where the six sense door come in. Mindfulness of the six internal sense bases and six external. Then you see how your conditioning, your wrong view, your reaction stir your mind and make you like that. Then how upon contact consciousness come to be. Then through your wrong view you introduce the content of consciousness. They are all in this book, Satipatthana, Final Summary. That's how you have to read through. You have to understand. Krishnamurti don't teach you all this. He just tell you how to do. What your mind state is supposed to be. Quite similar to Diamond Sutta. You must cultivate until there is no mark. No mark of any living being. No mark of any Dhamma. No mark of whatever. He just tell you. Your mind must be like that. Like Krishnamurti say, there is understanding only when there is stillness. Then what is stillness? He explained a little bit more. When silent observation means what? No mental chattering, no thinking, no heedlessness, silent observation. After silent observation is passive awareness, not the active one, not the one that try to know, try to comment, try to do this and do that. No, just aware. Then whatever arise, it will unfold. Then you will understand. That's why you can awaken to their characteristic. Allow the phenomena to tell you the story. The silent mind that is in stillness, when there is attentiveness, when there is awareness, when there is sati, can understand. You will awaken. That's how the teaching come about, the Satipatthana. So this part is very important. Choiceless awareness wholly dissolve our conflict and misery. And very true. When you are silent, you can understand how the arisen, unarisen hindrance come to be. Then how the arisen hindrance cease to be. If you know how they come and how they go, you will know how to deal with it. And you will know how to develop it. And cultivate the opposite five spiritual faculty to overcome it. Then when it comes to enlightenment factor, you will know how the unarisen enlightenment factor or sati come to be. Then when you know how it come to be, you will know how it stabilize, how completion by culture, this enlightenment factor or sati come to be. Then how in the future, it will not disappear from your mind state. Because when you already straighten your view, develop the understanding, cultivate the spiritual faculty, until they become balas, powers, it can never fall back. Because power means there is special power. You are already very stable. It's always with you. Yeah. It's so stable until it's unshakable, spiritual faculties. Unshakable means nothing can shake you. Nothing can cause the spiritual faculty to disappear. And this is what the cultivation is all about. Okay? Can follow, eh? Okay, we move on to the next Krishnamurti quote. Discover the whole content of what is. What is the reality. Okay? Understanding only comes with the awareness of what is. When you are aware of what is the reality. Means when you see things as they are. When you are aware of whatever that arises within the moment. That's why I say sati, daily mindfulness, must be with the moment. at the moment of its arising, sustain, and then passing away. You cannot be mindful to that extent. You are still far away from the cultivation. It's only when your mind can be in that state throughout the day, most of the time, then you will awaken very fast. You will understand very fast. Then everything you come to experience through your senses, even your seeing, the phenomena and the mind will move as one, no thought. It's just aware. Then hearing also. The awareness of that hearing consciousness is so different. You are fully aware. Smell, taste, tactile, even the movement of thought, there is so much clarity. And the mind can stay there. It can be at the moment of contact, at the moment of feeling, at the moment of perception, and at the moment of activity of mind. You are very skillful. You can be with that moment. Then you can stop anytime. That's why feeling will remain as pure feeling. At the moment of sense experience, the mind doesn't move. It's just aware. Then if he wants to move or do anything else, the silent mind will understand. Then the mundane mind will do what it is already trained to do. That's why all this you can only develop when there is understanding, wisdom. When your mindfulness is already very stable, when your spiritual faculties are very stable. Otherwise you cannot be in that state of mind. You cannot cultivate until like that. That's why the real meditation is not what people think. Not all the sitting and the retreat. It's the understanding of it and how you stabilize all this and carry it into the daily life to cultivate the four foundation of mindfulness, to develop that understanding and straighten your view. Keep on straightening your view until throughout the day, in the midst of life, in your daily life, you are most of the time aware with very little sankhara. That's why the first link, avijja paccaya sankhara, must be weakened until very little thinking. And that is a sign of real progress. If you still think a lot, then very difficult. Like just now, one of the Kayamita friends, when they came in, she was very early, and she explained to some other Kayamita friends, I want to be silent. But I find it so difficult that I can be silent in the form of meditation. But the moment I come out, you say, I hardly can be silent even for 1 or 2 minutes, you say. Then she determined to be silent. What is your comment on this type of cultivator? what is your understanding? You all can develop this sharing. This is very good. Because it's very obvious, isn't it? Well, you heard so much about silent mind. I determined to be silent. I want to be silent. But she realized that she is hardly able to be silent in the daily life, which is happening to most people who don't cultivate. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Based on what we have shared. What are you going to do? Daily mindfulness. But how do you develop that? If you come to realize that you are hardly aware throughout the day in your daily life, means what? Your spiritual faculty is not strong. You have to go back and cultivate through puja, reflection, contemplation, then bow. Then daily mindfulness, understand? Until it's stabilized. Not until that, you go and force yourself not to think, no use, understand not? You want to determine to be without thought, cannot. Who determine? The thought. That's why when the hindrances are still there, when your spiritual faculty are not stable, you have to work on that. As I don't try to know, just do. Like swimming. Do until the awareness or mindfulness come, you will know. You will understand. All of a sudden, the body and mind move as one. Anapanasati, breath and the mind move as one. Then there is so much joy. Then the confidence is there. Then the virya will arise. Because when it stand up to investigation, when you are able to realize that transformation, that improvement in you, that's why don't try to know, just do, then it will come. As long as you are sincere, you have the faith, you just do, persevere. With these three understanding criteria, you will progress. You will finally realize. So this is what you should do. Don't go and fight the hindrance. Don't try to force the mind to be silent. Cannot. The mind cannot be forced into silence. That's why don't like Xuanhua, subdues the mind. You cannot do that. You just relax, silent and away and let it be. Then understand how that mind slow down, how Sankhara slow down. Without any more mental energy, without any more intention, craving, desire, the mind will slow down. Thinking will slow down. Activity will slow down. Then it will return to its original state of stillness and silence. You have to experience that. And the best way to try is, the next time when you got conditioned to have fear or anger or unhappiness, you just relax and silent. Go somewhere quiet. Then you see what happens. Then you see that anger, the aversion, the agitated mind and the fear or whatever reaction, the movement inside, slowly, slowly slow down. Slow down until it returns to its original state of stillness. If you can do that even once, you will understand meditation very clearly. And you will know the real understanding is no need to do anything. Because all these are conditioned arising state. Anger is never me. Fear is never me. Desire, craving, delusion and phobia, they are never you. They are conditioned arising state within the mundane mind. Understand? Huh? That's why with understanding, you meditate different. The understanding comes very fast. The result will also arise very fast. Okay? Okay, now we go on to the next slide. There can be no understanding if there is condemnation of or identification with what is. This one you can agree that. Now you can understand that. When you want to understand a child or you want to understand anything, you have to be attentively observing that. When you start to comment, this is wrong, boy, you must not do like that, you stupid fellow. When you start to do all this, you are condemning. You are doing all those funny things according to what? Your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your habitual tendency. So if you start to condemn or identify with what is, if you condemn a child and identify yourself with him, then you cease to understand him. So this is precisely what is happening to the world. Because you never listen and observe. When you listen, you know why they become like that. And when you observe, you understand why they are like that. Because when we are too busy thinking, planning and worrying about life, we don't have time to be aware, to observe, to understand. And to observe and to understand is the most important aspect of life. If you don't do that, you become heedless. You're continuously lost in thought, becoming so heedless, and the hindrance keep on arising. And the delusion continue to stir your mind, creating the evils. That's how suffering comes to be. Your fear, your worry, your anxiety, all come about because your thought project and you cannot see. And when you deludedly grasp, cling and hold to delusion, self-delusion, then all the phenomenal world like become real to you. That's how you get yourself entangled. And all this is very clear when you have mindfulness and awareness. Okay, we go on. Then you cease to understand him. So being aware of a thought or a feeling as it arises. Huh? Now he go into feeling already. See? Being aware of a thought means cittanupassana. Or a feeling, vedana nupassana. The word is as it arises, but without condemning. Understand? Not? Means what? You don't label as pain. Understand? Not? You don't label as numb, itchy. Forget about it. Aware. Then understand what that thing is without the word. Then you can feel the tactile consciousness, everything, the real thing inside there without the word. Then you will understand why it become like that. How come it's like that? Then when your mind whole, it becomes worse. You become more engulfed and more entangled. Then that the what they call unhappiness, the suffering, the misery, the reaction to that feeling which has become unpleasant feeling because you label it pain, unpleasant, and you want to do away with it. And this is a hindrance. It will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why you cannot become peaceful anymore. You cannot meditate anymore. So that is the very important understanding. So Krishnamurti used word, but he explained it in a similar way. So being aware of a thought or a feeling as it arises without condemning it or identifying with it, you will find that it unfolds ever more widely and deeply, and thereby discover the whole content of what is. See? You can see the whole content. Your mental intention, your delusion, your conditioning, your views and your opinion, and how they are so capable inside there, and so busy reacting, stirring and telling you to do all those funny things. This is what delusion is all about. Sakaiity is all about. And this is what heedlessness is all about. That's why when you are aware, so being aware of your thought, your feeling as it arises, without condemning, identifying, you will understand all this. Then you will find that all this will unfold ever widely and deeply, and thereby discover the freedom. Oh, sorry, the whole content of what is. Then to understand the process of what is, there must be a choiceless awareness, a freedom from condemnation, justification, and identification. When you are vitally interested in fully understanding something, you give your mind and heart withholding nothing. See? You will not hold back anything because you will be completely attentive. You're just aware, withholding nothing. And the mind is very different. Just like what Ng Bee went through when she was doing the lying down meditation. She remember what I told her, assume you are dead. So beholding nothing, no fear, nothing, just aware, silent, and let it be. Then the whole mindfulness becomes so different. She can be aware of all those movements so clearly, and from which part of the brain is activated, she can understand. She is aware of all those movements without words. Then she realized, really, it becomes so still, so silent. Then it's like she is beholding nothing. There is no me inside there. There is no atta inside. There is no mind inside there to meditate. When there is a mind, this mind is holding on to a lot of things. Understand? Wanting to know. Wanting to note. Understand? Now, all this is beholding. Yeah. So all these understanding are very important. But unfortunately, this part you will understand. Krishnamurti said, you are conditioned. The word is educated. You got too much education, knowledge, and discipline. The word is discipline. Through what? Through religious belief and social environment to condemn and to identify. Like that wrong, like that right. You must do this, you must believe in this, you must believe in God, or you must not believe in God. All this conditioning. And you are so disciplined, no? That's why rigid, no? This one cannot, that one cannot. Then what happened? You are so busy doing all those to condemn and to identify, and not to understand. The most important thing is to develop understanding. You never do, understand? But everything else you do. That's why if you cultivate like that, there is no way you can awaken. Then to condemn is stupid and easy. Agree or not? To blame people, condemn, comment, and say all those things is very easy and stupid. But to understand is arduous, so difficult, requiring pliability and intelligence. Intelligence is wisdom. That's why you need to have understanding and wisdom. Then condemnation as identification is a form of self-protection. What is self-protection? The ego want to be right. That's why you argue, you condemn. You identify. I'm Chinese. I'm English. I am whatever race you are. or I'm a Buddhist, or I'm a Christian, or I'm a Catholic. So among their own religion also they divide and split. And this is what is happening to the world. So condemnation and identification is a barrier to understanding, because condemnation as identification is a form of self-protection. The ego is still there. Who condemn? And why it condemn? Because there is a self within egoic mind. To understand the confusion, the misery in which one is, and soul of the world, you must observe its total process. Then to be aware and to pursue all its implication requires patience. The next one is very important. To follow swiftly and to be still. Cannot. Swiftly means the silent mind is very swift. The silent mind can be aware even at lightning speed, I tell you. That's why last time I used to share with you, I went and listened many years ago, I think more than 15 years ago. They told me, Virtue, you should come. There is a bhikkhuni, if I'm not wrong, don't know from where one. He said he is talking about daily mindfulness. Because they also excited, they never heard about any bhikkhu or bhikkhuni talk about daily mindfulness. But that time was very rare, very uncommon. And they know I used to emphasize a lot of importance on daily mindfulness. Then they told me, Virtue, you want to go or not? I say, got condition, I go lah. So I went with them. And when I was there, I listened. Actually, I got a shock. I say, wow, if that is the way they teach daily mindfulness, I tell you, hell will break loose. And I don't know what will end up with the teaching. She was giving an example now, where she was doing the particular type of meditation where they slow everything down. And the energy she gave was so convincing. No? You know what she said? No? She said, you look at the fan. Eh? The fan. When it's moving at high speed, you cannot see clearly, is it? How many blades, you don't know. But when it moves very slowly, you can see very clearly how many blades. Ah, that is mindfulness, she said. You agree or not? I tell you, I got a shock. Oh, mindfulness like that. Slow only can see, fast cannot see. So everything must slow down. Crossing the road also standing, intending to cross. lifting, I tell you, accident straight away on the road. Because in real life, you have to act normally, walk normally, do things normally. It can be fast, it can be slow, and it can be swift. And awareness is the mind with the moment. Why must you slow everything down? And that is not mindfulness. When you slow down your action, that is not mindfulness. You're supposed to be aware of your mental movement, understand? Internal aggregate of feeling, perception, the activity, that movement. When you can be with that, then you have mindfulness of feeling, mindfulness of chitta. But your mind moves so fast, how can you slow the mind down? You can only slow the mind down when you decondition its heedless thinking. Then you develop the ability to be in sati, silent, aware. If your stability of that spiritual faculty is not there, you can never be aware. You can never be silent, I tell you. You think a lot inside there. Split second, the thing is lost in thought already. Split second, gone. Even anapanasati, split second, no more aware of the breathing. You don't believe, you go and try. Only those who really train, they can just sit, relax, silent. Then in the midst of life, they can just silent and aware and observe. Very clearly, no thought, nothing. Even as I share, speak, there is no movement inside. That's why any of the external movement, this nature is aware. And this is the awareness that is without a center. Not connected to the brain. Activity is through the nature that understand it share. If I speak from memory, I cannot speak. I cannot share with you. You know, memory, I need to recall. That's all. And acting according to memory is not acting at all. You know, what is memory? Memory is knowledge from the known, accumulated, not an understanding. That's why you have to recall through memory, only you know how to say things. But when you understand, you don't need memory. You just speak from your nature. Then when question is asked, it just understand, it just answer. That's it, spontaneous. You heard of this word? Spontaneous. It's no more reflecting and thinking. That one is no more spontaneous. That one is recalling through memory. Wow, last time, what did Brother Teo say? What did the Buddha say? How should I act? You like that means you don't know what sati is. But when you are doing the second turning, it's different. Second turning, when you reflect and contemplate, it means you throw out this inquiry, then you silence your mind and reflect. It means your awareness is with it. But if in the midst of daily life you go and think like that, then there is no more reflection and contemplation. Understand? Means you are trying to recall what the Brother Teo say. Brother Teo say silent, I also silent. You like that means you become gullible. Understand? You just follow instruction. You don't know why I say silent and how to be silent also you don't know. You don't want to go and train. You don't want to go and develop it. Then, Brother Teo say, anapanasati, you know, mindfulness are in and out. Don't do rising falling. Do it. Like that. You will never learn. Everything also you quote me without understanding what I say. The Buddha said, don't believe him. Investigate into what he said. Then when you understand, you can quote me. Understand or not? You know why Brother Teo say like that? No? Because the hindrance are there. That's why you have to decode. When you can do this, you can quote me. Understand? No problem. That time you can quote me. Then I will be very happy. This one. This kind of metta very good. Then when you understand, there is so much joy. And then, like I quote the Buddha, I quote Krishnamurti, because I can explain it to you. But when you don't understand, you don't quote. Otherwise, you get me into trouble. You also get into trouble. As well. You say, Brother Teo say one, no. So you use my name. Then you try to get the reputation and win the argument. That is the worst thing to happen. Then when you quote and you cannot defend, you put yourself in a very, very, difficult position. You not only get yourself into trouble, you even get me into trouble by quoting me. Then they also go and quote. He say his teacher, Brother Teo say one. Then everybody get into trouble. Then all the Kayamita also get into trouble. But so far, I think, very lucky. I didn't receive any feedback like that. Because enough warning. Don't quote me. That was enough warning. Just say, just share with you whatever he understands. You want to understand more, you come and attend the class. Or you read up whatever or listen to all the Dhamma sharing. Then you got questions, you are most welcome to come and ask. Then we can develop the sharing and understanding together. No right, no wrong. Okay, we better end. 10:30 something already. I think I exceeded by about 5 minutes. The last Krishnamurti quote, we just skip it. If we got time, we go through it. Okay. If you got any question, you have to write it down and bring the next Tuesday. Now we will do the sharing of merits, transform merits. Then after that, invoke the blessing for the nation. Then you can make your aspiration. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata chabumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa chirang rakan tulokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power share these merits, and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhya. May all beings share this merit which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to departed one. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontunya teyo. Idang me nyatinang sukita hontunya teyo. Let these merits accrue to our departed relatives and others who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, now we will invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo asatakalena sasa sampatihitu ca fito bhavatu loko ca raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rain fall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government, the king and the rulers be righteous. Okay, now we will make the aspiration. Imina punyang kamina mami bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patia. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will end our session by paying homage to Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Compose your mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then pay respect mindfully.